Kia ora, I'm Ruth and welcome back to the Happy Saver podcast and part three of this special six-part financial independence series. On my blog, thehappysaver.com, I created a comprehensive financial independence series of six blog posts where I mapped out a plan to help you on your way to becoming financially independent. Now, because I know that there are some in my audience who only read my blog and others who only listen to this podcast, I wanted to make sure that both parts of my audience got the same information. So what I've done is I have turned each blog post into a podcast episode. Fear not, it is a temporary change to the regular episodes where I chat with a diverse bunch of people and I learn their story and condense it down so that you can hear helpful, relatable stories from Kiwis who are sharing their experiences, their tips, and point of view on personal finance in New Zealand. Today's episode is about why an emergency fund is a good idea and how do you get one. But before I get into it, I just have a quick word from today's sponsor. I'm a massive fan of creating multiple sources of income because I believe it makes you more financially resilient. However, you need to be sure that extra hours spent working on a side hustle translate into actual money in your pocket. Pocketsmith helps manage secondary income from a side hustle by integrating various financial accounts, providing customizable budgeting and cash flow forecasts, and offering a detailed dashboard unique to each side hustle for transaction management and net worth tracking. If you want to supercharge your finances with Pocketsmith, have we got a deal for you. Happy Saver listeners get a whopping 50% off your first 2 months of Pocketsmith's foundation plan. To get your deal, go to pocketsmith.com/thehappysaver. That's pocketsmith.com/thehappysaver. The best thing I ever did was set some cash into a bank account which we could instantly access in a financial emergency. It's an amount of money set aside in a specific bank account to be used for bailing myself out if something happens that I didn't otherwise plan for, but I need money to pay for. It takes me less than 1 minute to log into my banking and move money from my emergency account to my spending account. Now, as hard as I try, I can't plan for everything. My previous podcast discussed budgeting and planning for upcoming expenses. However, try as I might, I just can't think of everything. Your emergency fund covers the things you forgot despite your best intentions. And what have I used my emergency fund for in the last 12 months? Accommodation and various expenses in Dunedin when Mum ended up in hospital with COVID. I had an unexpectedly high car repair bill in addition to what I had budgeted for. And what have we used it for in the past? Unplanned dental treatment. I had to top up our everyday bank account when, despite our best efforts, we didn't earn enough monthly income to cover all of our expenses. And let's not forget the biggest jolt our lives ever had, coping with the short-term financial crisis of the Canterbury earthquakes that began in 2011 and went on for years. If there was one thing that cemented the need for an emergency fund, it was this event. Because of our large emergency fund, of all the troubles we faced, money was the least of our concerns. And to this day, I feel a sense of relief when I think back on that time. Now, the feedback I receive from people who write to me on my blog agrees with me. Now, I'm lucky many people email me telling me how unlucky they have been with money. I'm fortunate because I've sat on the sidelines watching a situation go from crisis to confidence, and most will credit setting up an emergency fund as a huge factor in getting on track with money. So whether they manage very little or millions of dollars, people who budget and plan for an emergency feel a sense of calmness about their pūtea. Having money sitting in an account ready to access immediately will stop you from reaching for a credit card, dipping into your mortgage, or reaching for some kind of buy now, pay later scheme to pay a bill. If you do that, that's all just more debt you are adding to your life. And in an emergency, that is the last thing you want to turn to, as it has the potential to make a bad situation even worse. And if the concept of having an emergency fund is new to you, well, here is how you make a start. You set up a bank account, and you give it a name that tells you that the money in this special place is for emergencies only. I've heard some great names over the years. One, simply emergency fund, the holy shit fund, I'll save myself fund, I've got this fund, and feck you fund. So what do you do? Do you start small with an emergency fund or do you go large? If money is tight for you, automatically transfer a small set amount into this new account. Schedule it for the day you're paid. You aim to build this account quickly so you can put a bit of pressure on yourself to make these transfers meaningful. And your goal is to reach $1,000 as fast as you can. And then you can aim for $2,000 and then for $3,000. Alternatively, if you have the financial means, completely fill up this account right now. And for every $100 you manage to put into this account, you have bought yourself the solution to a problem that may arise. So if your car fails a warrant of fitness because you need a new tire, well, $100 should go a long way to paying for it. The higher the balance of your emergency fund, the less stress you will feel when unexpected costs come up, and the faster you can solve your own problems. A common question is, how much money should you have in an emergency fund? So if you're busy paying off consumer debt, aiming to have $1,000 to $2,000 in an emergency fund will be helpful. It will stop you from reaching for more consumer debt if a $500 problem occurs. You won't have to put your crisis on a credit card, a store card, or a buy now, pay later scheme anymore. Once you are consumer debt free and budgeting well, aiming to have 3 to 6 months of expenses in your emergency fund is a good idea. And once you reach your number, you just cap it at that. There is no need to add any more. And when some people get the wind in their sails, they can become a bit overzealous with how much they have in their emergency fund. When in reality, 3 to 6 months of expenses is a good amount to have, or 12 months of expenses tops. Money, in addition to this, could be better used elsewhere in your life, such as making higher payments on your mortgage or investing to grow your wealth. Or you could spend it, of course. Now, I've found a mountain becomes a gentle slope when you have an emergency fund. If you are starting from zero in your emergency fund, hearing me encourage you to simply save up $1,000 and potentially tens of thousands of dollars, well, it could make you feel defeated before you begin. Believe me, I know it is hard. I want you to get motivated, not put off, so snap out of this thinking and put your reservations to one side and just start anyway. Put your goal in context. An emergency fund is just another sinking fund, and if you have listened to my previous episodes in this series, you have already set up a few. And as with any sinking fund, with regular deposits made over a long period, it's slow initially, but it gets easier. If you were to deposit $50 a week into your emergency fund, in week one, you'd have $50. In week two, you'd have $100. In week three, $150. In week four, $200. Would you worry less knowing that after just 4 short weeks, you could have $200 set aside? Yes, you know you would. So by week 8, you got $400 in there. By week 12, just 3 months in, $600. Would you worry less about money if you knew that in 12 weeks, just 3 months from now, you could have $600 to fight any financial fires? Well, yes, you know you would. By week 20, you've got $1,000. You have arrived at your goal, and it just took you 5 short months. So while the goal of $1,000 might seem big to some, breaking it down into small steps makes it attainable. And once you reach your goal, whatever that amount may be, you cap it there and you can stop your auto payments and just let it sit there, poised and ready to help you when required. I've noticed that once people decide to set up an emergency fund, they will create these small weekly transfers, but then they'll get impatient to fill it up and hit their number. They work extra shifts, they sell stuff they don't use, they cut unnecessary spending, and they speed up the whole process. And you won't hear any arguments from me. Just get after it. Also keep in mind that your emergency fund balance, it's going to change over time. And the last time I wrote about my emergency fund on my blog, The Happy Saver, the balance was $14,000. We could live on this amount for 4 months or 6 months at a stretch if required. And at the time, Johnny was self-employed and I worked a permanent part-time PAYE job, plus we had side income from our blog. Our outgoings were stable, but I saw 3 main risks to our income. His work could dry up, I could get laid off, my blog could disappear at the whim of the internet. However, we more recently reduced our emergency fund balance to $10,000. And why might that be? Johnny and I are both working permanent part-time PAYE jobs that are stable. Income from the blog appears to be steady. Our sinking fund balances are stable. Our spending is stable. And the value of our ETF share investments has increased. Therefore, I'm confident that most of our problems could be solved with $10,000. And history has shown me that we are more likely to need to access smaller amounts more often. If our financial problem was more than $10,000, we could, if required, immediately sell off a portion of our investments. I don't want to do that, but I could if needed. I'm confident in that amount because I've got a good backup plan. You can assess your position from time to time and make the call on the size of your emergency fund. Now, I've got a few emergency fund FAQs, and the first one is, should an emergency fund be working for you? Now, I'll sometimes be told, Ruth, an emergency fund should be working for you. They think its purpose is to make more money. That is not the purpose of an emergency fund. It is to help you rest well at night and not worry about money. Yes, it might make a little bit of interest because you put it in a high interest yet immediately accessible bank account, but that's just a happy coincidence. I've been told that you can offset it against a mortgage, thus reducing the interest you pay on your debt, or invest it in some way to receive dividends or capital gains, perhaps tie it up in a term deposit, or in my view, the worst idea, pay for the emergency with a credit card, which is debt, that you can then earn points on and pay off using your emergency fund at the due date. Well, offsetting it against your mortgage may be something to consider, but only if the money was still in a clearly marked emergency fund account. But I'd say no to the rest. You need immediate access to your emergency fund to solve your problem and not have to carry out mental gymnastics while doing it. For example, my problem last October was that my mum was rushed to hospital with COVID. Chance of dying from it, high. I immediately used money from our emergency fund to book a hotel room, and then I jumped in the car and I went to be with my mum. My problem was permanently sorted, ended, and solved within 2 minutes with zero stress, leaving me plenty of time to stress about more important things, which is my mum. One night led to four plus multiple other expenses, but I paid in full each time with no issue, and thankfully my mum has recovered. Financial problems often get drawn out, but with a big emergency fund behind me, I could keep fighting the fires as they popped up. My mum was my focus, not my money. And the issue with tying your emergency fund up in a term deposit or investment or putting it on a credit card is that you put too many barriers in the way of solving your problem. So just don't, okay? My emergency fund is working its guts out for me because I feel calm every time I look at it in my bank account. I don't know what might go wrong, but I understand that something will happen and that money is there to fix it and I'll be all sorted. So should you invest your emergency fund? That's another question that often comes up. Just to zero in on the you should invest the money instead argument, one huge factor I think is often overlooked is that if you manage your money well, as I try to do, the $10,000 tied up in my emergency fund represents just 1.8% of our total investments. If I include our home, well, it's just 0.6%. The fact that this tiny percentage only earns the bank interest rate will not move the needle on our entire net worth, but the peace of mind it gives me is absolutely priceless. The question you need to ask yourself is, can you keep your sticky mitts off your emergency fund? If you build yours up to $10,000 and it's sitting in an accessible bank account, looking all shiny, bright, and inviting, well, do you have the willpower not to spend it on other random stuff? Personally, I have no trouble keeping my sticky mitts off our emergency fund. But if you put a bowl of green onion chips and the classic kiwi onion dip on the table beside me right now, would I have the resolve not to eat it? Well, I'm not going to lie, I would struggle. I understand the temptation. Telling ourselves no should be enough. And for me, in regards to the emergency fund, it is. But if you need more friction between you and your emergency fund, an easy fix is putting your emergency fund in a high interest savings account with a different bank. Keep the login details secure, but don't memorize them. You must make some effort to locate these details and move money between your emergency fund and spending accounts to access this money. You won't solve your money problems as fast as I do, but having that small degree of separation and time lag is hopefully enough to keep it out of sight and therefore out of mind. And other than that, I've got no real great insights to share here. It's really up to you to wrestle with your conscience on this one. But how disappointed would you be with yourself if a genuine emergency did come up, a genuine financial emergency, such as the death of your partner, and you didn't have the money to pay for a funeral because you blew it on consumer goods instead? Some emergencies are profoundly traumatizing, and all I want for you is the knowledge that at what might be the lowest point in your life, having the money to cope with it is there, ready and waiting, and that's going to leave you to cope with all the other things going on. The next thing I want you to kind of internalize is that your credit card is not your emergency fund. If you have access to a line of credit, also known as debt, and that's your big plan to use that when the dog needs the vet for $5,000 or the car blows up for $10,000, then I'm telling you, it's a bad plan. If you use it, now you have a large payment due in a month. And if you don't get it paid off in full, your emergency will now cost you the initial expense plus 25% interest. Bad plan. People who do this end up raiding every sinking fund they may have set up for other purposes, postponing things that they'd planned, and just generally chasing their tail to address the crisis they created by not having an emergency fund. And what about if you do use your emergency fund for an emergency? Well done if you have an emergency fund and you have to dip into it to cover an unexpected expense. You have immediately solved your problem. And how did it feel to feel so in control of the situation? Now, priority one, once you've used it, is topping the account back up again. And to do this, I simply set up a weekly auto payment of a set amount into this account until it's filled back up to the correct amount again. I'll hustle if I need to fill it up faster. As soon as that is done, and it might take weeks or months depending on how much you have drained it, you just stop that payment and just get on with your day. But make sure you reflect on how awesome it felt not to need to use borrowed money to solve the problem. Now, the final word on emergency funds. Whether you manage a little money or a lot, please ensure a small portion is placed on one side for use in an emergency. I can't recall when I first had the aha moment to set one up, but I strongly suspect that it coincided with me feeling less stress and anxiety about money. It's the type of life admin that needs consistent attention in the beginning, but once it's built up and you have had to use it a few times, it's something that you know you just can't be without. So we've now covered off net worth, budgeting, and emergency funds, and in the next episode, I'll be addressing KiwiSaver. So that's it for today. If you have enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful, please share it with your friends and whānau. It's the best way that people can learn about what I do and the resources I share. And finally, get out there and korero more about money with your own friends and whānau and help me continue to help others be better with money. So until next time, happy saving.